This podcast is brought to you by the Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection Arcade Classics. 7 legendary titles including X-Men vs. Street Fighter and Marvel vs. Capcom 2. Enjoy new features like online multiplayer, training, and gallery modes. Plus, join in on the action with one-button specials, where players of all skill levels can unleash those epic moves with ease. Relive the classic arcade battles. Get your hands on the Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection today. Available now on PlayStation 4, PC, and Nintendo Switch.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. What are your self-care non-negotiables? It's hard to make time for the things that keep you healthy. But being consistent with self-care is like working a muscle. And when life gets crazy, that muscle keeps you strong. Therapy is the ultimate self-care, and BetterHelp makes it easy to get started with affordable online sessions you can do from anywhere. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month.
People say I ain't no good, and I'm crazy as a loon, 'cause I shave my head in the morning, pick guitar in the afternoon. Just like old Chief and Charlie, I like to lay around in the shade. Well, I ain't got no money, but you better believe I got it made. 'Cause I ain't asking nobody for nothing if I can't get it on my own. Just leave this bald-headed country boy alone.
Before we get started with this episode of the Josh Terry Podcast, we want to thank all of our sponsors. Blazer 88, Project K9 Hero, Lori's Dive-In, 601 Roofing King, Down Yonder Hat Co., Cottonfield Grill, Cashman's Pub, Better Than Basic Marketing, Middle Georgia Total Health, Nobles Dirt Works, Nobles Networking, Mischief Media, Yankee Paradise South, Web Space Today, and 22 Sierra Coffee. Now, let's get into the episode, y'all. What's up, folks? Thank y'all for tuning to the Josh Terry Podcast. I want to thank all of our sponsors, of course. One I've got on for the second day in a row, Yankee Paradise. I want to thank y'all for all the stuff that y'all sent me. Miss Marcy, I love y'all stuff. All of our clothing sponsors and brand sponsors that send me stuff. I don't wear y'all shit as much as I should. I am now, because I've done lost a little bit of weight, and y'all are the only people sending me stuff in large. So anybody wants to send me shit to wear, send it in large. No more extra larges. Can't fit in it. Too baggy on me. But thank y'all. On the show with me today is another Georgia native. She was on the show, I think she might have been on twice now. I know once for sure. Not too far up the road from me. I really like her content. She's a wholesome person. She's a sweetheart. Miss Brittany Smith from over. I'm not going to say where you're from because I don't know if you put that out. But she cracks me up. She's a good Southern mama, and she plays a hell of a trashy one on social media. How are you doing?
I'm good. How about you, Josh?
Good. Do you put your name out on social media? I just realized I said that. I didn't even realize
you
did or not.
It's out there. I will say that since last podcast I did with you, though, I did switch everything over. So everything now is B. Smith Comedy.
B. Smith Comedy.
Yep, B. Smith Comedy. But, yeah, all my socials are out there, and everybody knows me on Facebook. I'm Brittany Smith on there. So that's completely fine.
Are you doing stand-up yet?
Okay, I did go over to Mississippi probably 2 summers ago, and I did some stand-up, and I loved it. And I was very nervous, and everybody kept saying, you need to do stand-up, you need to do stand-up. So I went over there, I did that show, and then my grandpa got sick and moved in with us, and we took care of him for a little while, and he passed away. And then so that just kind of got put on the back burner. But that's what we're going to talk about first today is the Safe Haven House thing that's right. To raise some money for. It will actually be my very first stand-up show since then, so only my second show ever. But we're actually going to try to put together a little benefit program to raise some money for a Safe Haven House in our area that shelters women and children who are in, like, domestic violence situations and just bad situations. But we've got Justin Stagner coming over from Alabama. We've got Amanda Meadows coming over. She plays Charlene, the Trailer Park Queen. We're going to do three sets of stand-up, and then we've got some local guys, Mr. Ben Bates and Cade Beecher.
My dude, thank you so much for having
yep,
me.
Yep, your dudes. And you know, that I appreciate you for that, because we were kind of in a hole there for a second, and I was like, I know who I can call, and you came through, so I do appreciate that.
Well, I really hate that when you – because I read back at our messages, and I'm just the worst. Like, I'm the worst communicator of all time. It's probably my biggest flaw with women in the first place, is I'm the shittiest communicator. When you asked me to be part of it originally, I wish I'd have got back with you like right away on it. Yeah, I would have got involved with it, but at least I could do is hook you up with those guys, and they're great. Ben and Kate are both wonderful individuals.
I appreciate that. I appreciate it. Just from talking, I haven't even talked to them personally, but they have been just so kind, like through text message and stuff like that. So I can't wait to meet them in person. I'm hoping that we can get together before this thing, so that we can all talk and hang out a little bit, maybe, and get to know everybody, you know, before the show starts. So,
yeah. So what all y'all plan on doing with it? Is that the Blue Room, right?
It is at the Blue Room in Statesboro, Georgia. It's going to be on October the 11th from 6 to 8. We don't have all the details ironed out yet. We are going to start advertising it next week, though. Ticket sales will probably go live next week sometime. But every bit of the proceeds are going to go to that, to the shelter. So I believe that what we're going to do is I'll probably be the opening act, just because I do not, you know, I don't do stand up for a living. I'm shy in real life. I know that's hard to believe, because I get on TikTok and I have over 1 million followers. But I'm not a public speaker at all.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get on there and kind of be our opener, introduce everybody. And then, either old Charlene and, Justin Stagner are going to come on after me. We're going to do just short sets of comedy. And then we're going to have, Cade and Ben come on and sing us some songs. So hopefully it'll be a good time. I hope that we can raise a lot of money, you know, to help some people out.
Well, I hope y'all can too. Stand up is just so hard too. I have been asked by a lot of the people that we've done shows with. One of my buddies is a guy named Chad Prather. Do you know who Chad Prather is?
His name sounds so familiar, but I'm a face person.
You'd have to look him up. Chad is he started making videos. He's probably one of the forefathers, probably his old ass. That started making videos before, like, and put it on Instagram, not Instagram, but YouTube. He's made a career out of it for 10, 12 years now. He does stand up, but his is more political, religious based stuff. But it's been his job for over 10 years now. And he writes music and stuff like that. He's an incredibly funny guy. He's been on big news networks, all kind of stuff. He's tried to talk me into doing it, and other people in Nashville and stuff have tried to talk me into doing it. I respect stand up so much because I love comedy.
Yeah.
I just don't think I can write skits and I can talk shit very well, but I haven't been able to put the stuff out that I'd like to put on social media because it would get community guidelines violations.
that's a fine line, man.
Yeah. I can't be my kind of funny.
Right.
On social media. But then too, I've been to some comedy shows and I've seen people, which I think you have a great personality. And I think that you would play well in stand up if you were comfortable doing it. Like, so I don't want to knock you.
That's my
I don't want you to think I'm knocking you.
It's the comfortable issue for me. It's being in front of people.
Yeah, you give me a mic because I already have to speak in front of big crowds all the time. And
why you would do good. Yeah. That's why I think you would do well. Also, because, you know, you already talk in front of people. You've done this. You've been there, and that's part of it, though. That's a big part of it is just being in front of people, and speaking in front of people. And you know, people when people would ask me about doing stand up, I'm like, listen, y'all don't understand that when I do these comedy skits on TikTok, there's nobody in front of me. It's just me and my phone or camera. And if I mess up on something or something comes out of my mouth that I don't like, I can hit a delete button. And you can't do that when you're on stage in front of people. Yep. You mess up or trip over your words and everybody's out there judging you. So you know, and I've made you talking about, you know, things that you want to say, but you can't.
Yeah.
I've made some skits before or filmed some skits before. And before I posted them, I've actually gone back and said, you know what, that's kind of walking a fine line and I don't want to offend anybody. I also don't want to get kicked off of social media for any reason, because it does bring in money now for me. So, you know, you have to follow these rules, and if you don't follow these rules, then, you know, it affects your content, you know, when you're trying to do stuff. So,
well, I got told by, Ginger Billy Adam, like a long time ago, he was like, whenever he did the show, he said, dude, he said, I hate community guidelines. He said, but if this is your job, if this is your career, you can't know the rules, break the rules, then get mad that you broke the rules and they punished you for it. He's
100%.
Like, he said, you got a podcast, say the shit you want to on your podcast. For people like me, I say the stuff that I want to at my stand-up shows.
Right.
He said, I can't, I said, this is my income. Anybody that wants to get mad at me or anybody that wants to throw shade or whatever, because I'm not saying certain shit on my social media, they're not paying my bills. They don't have to. So it's like, you know what?
But he's right.
Yeah,
he's right.
I never thought of it
like any
before.
Other job. I mean, truly, when that's your big source of income from you, you have to basically follow the big man's rules, you know? And he's right. You can't get mad whenever you don't follow those rules and then they don't want to pay you or they want to, you know, ban you for however long. But TikTok, I will say that TikTok is a little ridiculous on stuff. You know, I use my crayon in my skits as a cigarette prop. And they flag my ass all the time for excessive tobacco use.
Really?
Yes. And so then I have to do all these appeals and it's a pain in the ass. And it's just ridiculous. And it's because they're using AI technology now. So it's not like actual people are going through there and saying, oh, it's just a crayon that she's using. AI is picking it up because there's basically something like hanging out of my mouth. And they just assume that it's a cigarette and then they flag me.
Do you think it's AI or do you think it's people?
I think it's a mixture of both. Like, I've read articles on it and they actually do have AI technology that picks up stuff. Like, that's how they figure out if you, like, TikTok is real bad too. So say I use my own video. I film a skit. It's my content, has no watermarks on or anything. Say I post that video to Instagram. Okay. And then an hour later, I post that video to TikTok, same video, my video, my contact. TikTok will flag it as unoriginal content because their AI will pick up that same video is somewhere else in the internet world. It's
no
insane.
Shit.
I swear to you. And you have to be so careful. Like, if you save videos from TikTok, like if I save my own video from TikTok, it puts the watermark on it. And then I post it to Instagram or Facebook. They will pick it up and say, this is unoriginal content. You cannot post this. We will not monetize you for it. Because it's like somewhere else in internet land.
Well, you know how to get the watermark off, don't you?
Yeah, I figured that out. In fact, Justin Stagner, and I, since our last podcast, I've gained a pretty good, following since then. And so I actually got an agent and he has been a godsend and, solid dude, down to earth dude. I was very hesitant. I was like, I am not that special. Like, I do not need anybody like that. You know, I just kind of handled my own stuff when people would businesses would email me and stuff. But when I tell you that this dude and the guy that helped him are social media geniuses.
Yeah.
They have helped me out so much. So, they give me tips and stuff like that all the time that I would never even think about. And so if you ever have any questions, dude,
I know, just email me their list. Let's go ahead.
Yeah.
We have a management company with a podcast. So, like, people message me all the time and ask, like, what do I do to start a podcast? How do I get it successful and all this kind of shit? And, like, I had to start where everybody else starts, like, they're just a regular upload company and all that kind of shit. But I got picked up 3 years ago, almost a year after I started. Like, buy a company to distribute, market everything for us. So we got pretty lucky right out the gate. Like, we already had really good numbers coming from country radio.
Right. Your shit was good from the beginning.
Yeah, like we were already good. So, but now it's got to where I've got real complacent though. And I've also got to where I can't just have dumbasses on my show anymore.
Yeah.
And it's made it to where, like, I don't want to do, and I love y'all, that because I know some of y'all listen to this that's fixing to get kind of ass hurt with me. I don't want to just have the OnlyFans girls on my show anymore. Like, I don't do, I'm not doing that shit anymore. I'm not doing just, I'm a dumbass and I've got a million followers on social media on my show anymore. Like, you have to have substance. I've refused. I just feel like I've been given an opportunity having a top 1% show in the world with the amount of listeners we get, with the people. Like, it's like, I just don't want to put dumb shit out there.
Yeah.
I'm just tired of it.
Yeah. You want to, it's like, this is what I told somebody one time, because I was posting like once a week and somebody had commented and they were like, why don't you put out more content like during the week, like more skits. And to me, quality over quantity.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if I'm going to put something out there, with the following that I have, it's gotta be quality.
Yeah.
If that means that I'm only posting to my stuff once a week or, filming it and putting stuff out, then it's gotta be decent. I'm not going to put trash out there because in the end, that's going to start affecting your following. It's going to start affecting what people think about you. And I think it's the same for you as well.
Yeah.
You don't want to put horse shit out there. You want something that people are going to listen to, and stay engaged with.
Well, it's like what I tell songwriters and singers all the time. It's like, and I harp this, and I don't know why it took so long for me to actually get it to myself, but it's like, I don't care if you're trying to be popular. I like the singers and songwriters that are trying to have a legacy, an all-time great song, not necessarily a song that's right now. Like, what mark are you trying to leave on the world? Like, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to leave this place better than you found it? Like, even you making people laugh, bringing people happiness. Like, that's great. That's freaking wonderful. Like, with me, it's like, do I really want people to know how much money this woman made off of her butthole?
Right.
Or would I rather people know what this organization's doing and how they're doing to help people with suicide awareness? Or the organization, the Safe Haven, that you're doing over there? And it's like, what's more important to me? And it's not that I can't still have people on here that have OnlyFans. No. Don't get me wrong.
And there's nothing wrong with, girl, if you can show your butthole and make millions of dollars, then by God, I'd be showing my butthole too. You know what I mean?
Well, you got people, and I want to clarify how I say this. Like, you've got people that have those that I'm really good friends with, and I love them to death. But
that's not
just who they are. They have great stories. They help people. They do other things. They're not just someone taking their clothes off for money. They actually are doing other things in life.
And I don't think people understand that though.
Yeah.
I don't think people understand that. Like, these, I think that we come from a society who's so like, we judge people based off of the wrong things, you know? And I think that's true with like OnlyFans girls and strippers and everything. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't define who they are personally. They're just trying to get that money. And I don't fault anybody for that.
Well, I've said it for the longest time, and I'll still make this case day in and day out. I won't go to a strip club because I'm not giving you money to take your clothes off. That's never been my thing. I'll go and shoot pool and talk shit. Like, but I don't like going to strip clubs. You're probably going to ask me to leave for not giving money. But I admire a woman's hustle. If you are somebody that doesn't have the options that some women have been given in life, and that is your best option to where, hey, I can go work 4 hours a day, be at home in the morning, be at home to take my youngins to school, to pick them up in the afternoons, and I can make way more money in that 4 hours and give my kids a better life. I completely get it. I understand.
Yes, sir.
There's nothing wrong with that if that's your mentality. Like, why wouldn't you do it instead of going to work a waitressing job for 80 hours a week, never see your kids, and then struggle like hell?
Yep.
If you're not given any other opportunities.
If I wasn't crackhead skinny, I'd probably be hitting that stripper pole too. I ain't gonna lie.
I bet you. Yeah, you seem like the kind of Southern belle that would.
But you know, I would. I am so shy about my body. Listen, it took me, and y'all ain't gonna believe this. It took me like, me and Adam have been married. We've been together for 20. This year we'll be together for 20 years. Believe that or not. But I never wore. Like, I would wear two-piece bathing suits. I wear shorts over my bottoms.
Yeah.
It took me 10 years. Adam was like, why don't you show? Like, why? Why are you? And I'm like, it's because the church I was raised in. That's why. And I tell people that all the time. That church had me thinking that, like, if I was walking around in my bathing suit, I was a whore.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it took me a long time to be, like, comfortable in my own skin. I was, like, well into my adulthood before. You can ask my parents, my sister-in-law, anybody. They would get on to me for years. They're like, Brittany, you can walk around with your bathing suit on, honey. Like, it's okay. And I'm like, no, Jesus is watching. You know, so it took me a long time to get comfortable being in my own body. And I know that you're going through a weight loss journey right now. And you are doing great. You look great. But I think that people put so much emphasis on the way somebody looks. You know, I think that we forget that that's not what's important. And, you know, what is inside somebody's soul and their heart is what is truly important. And it does not matter what you look like, but you got to be comfortable in your own skin and, you know, make yourself happy. Don't make anybody else happy. That's what I tell.
Well, for me, I was telling the dude last night this on the podcast a couple months ago, or maybe it was last year. Luke Combs was on Joe Rogan's podcast and he said, I've had all these number one singles. I've got all the money in the world. I got a great wife, another youngin' on the way. I got everything. But if I never get my weight under control, I will always feel like a failure. And for me, that's how it's always been with me. I could have all the success, everything else that I want and never dreamed of, but I've always been the big kid. And at one point in my life, I got to like 330 pounds and I got down to about 220, 215 at that point. And that was probably 6-7 years ago. But then I blew back up. I maintained around 240 for a while, 240 to 250. Then I got to about 260 to the April this year. And I made the decision. I was like, you know what? It's not that I'm trying to get physically fit. I'm trying to get healthy and prove to myself that like, I want to prolong my life. Like it's not about going into the gym and being able to throw up 300 pounds. Cause that's what I've always wanted to do is go into a gym and have these Hulk Hogan arms, right? This is the first time I have not lifted weights. I am doing nothing but cardio. And I took a long look in the mirror and it's like, man, you go to the track or you go to Walmart or whatever, and you see all these old men that are just healthy.
Right.
And they could be 90 years old. They're skinny. They're not jacked. They're just healthy.
But they're healthy.
They're healthy. Right. And the main thing that all of them got in common is they probably found something that they just remain active throughout their life. And I was telling the dude last night, I was like, man, you don't have to go to the gym and beat yourself up 2 hours every day. Like, get to your happy weight, whatever that might be, and then just remain active. Go for a walk three or four times a week. Yeah, like you can about eat what you want if you eat healthier. You don't have to always eat healthy. And that's what I'm doing now to where I've never done it before. And I actually enjoy walking and going to the – like I'm not even running. Like I'm just walking. But now like I'm doing 3 to 6 miles 4 or 5 times a week. Like, but I'm literally turning on music, turning on a sermon, turning on something, and I'm just walking. And it's
walking in that sweatsuit. I've seen that sweatsuit.
Everybody thinks I do that every day. I do it about once or twice a week, but but that's only like half of my workout though. So like I won't do it the whole time.
Do you know what makes me, let me tell you though, I couldn't get through that whole video. And let me tell you why. Let me tell you why. It has nothing in the world to do with you. I don't know if you remember that scene in Jackass. Do you remember the Jackass scene where they put Big Dude in the sweatsuit on the treadmill? And I couldn't finish it because that's the first thing that hit my mind. I was like, I can't even do it. That I literally have never had to turn Jackass off before.
Ugh.
I had to fast forward through that because I couldn't do it.
I've had to turn it off a
couldn't
lot.
Do it.
I am, contrary to what everybody thinks about me, I am extremely squeamish. I have a very, very weak stomach. Me and my dad are exactly the same. If I think about throwing up for too long, I'll throw up.
I never would have put that on you.
A bad smell. Like, people think I'm a dick when I don't like people talking in my face.
Oh, but it's because, like, their breath.
It's their breath. And it, like, I'm telling you, I can't. And this is what blows my mind about people, like, in Nashville. It's really everywhere, but I only really go out anymore when I'm in Nashville. But people, I guess, whatever they just got done doing, they don't know what fucking gum is there. They don't know what breath mix there. So they're going to go eat these hot dog stands on the corner. They're going to go drink Rumple Mints. They're going to do whatever. And then they're going to talk to you to where their nose is touching your nose. And my God, I'm telling you, most of them just smell like they just got done eating a big case of ass. I've had to turn my head. Everybody thinks I do the same move to everybody. And if anybody's listening to the show, if I've done this to you, I want you to know it's because I couldn't hear you, not because your breath smelled like shit. It's really because your breath smelled like shit. I always turn my head sideways and put my ear to your mouth and be like, I'm sorry, I'm hard of hearing. But it's because I don't want to smell your fucking breath.
Oh, my God. You just told on yourself, though.
Maybe they know to eat breath mints before they speak to me.
Yeah, see, now you know whenever if you come down, then I'm going to be eating breath mints and bubble gum. That's going to be a joke now for me with you.
Please do.
Speaking of which, when you come down, we do need to think of a skit. I know that you and I were talking about that. Listen, I've come up with some shit. I told you that. I know that they're wanting you to, you know, do some stuff like that and get yourself pushed out a little bit more like in other areas of social media. So, holler at me when you get ready. Cause we can, I can do like a news interview skit or we do anything.
Well,
I can come up with stuff.
Well, here's the thing, and management, if y'all are listening, I'm sorry, but they do their best and I appreciate them more than they know. I'm not easy to deal with because I've set out from the very beginning of this and I'm trying to get less hard-headed. I'm trying this whole new thing in life to where I don't know best and I need to listen to other people. Like, I'm trying to be more open to ideas and everything. So, like, I've been to the mixers and stuff that they've asked me to go to before and they've all ended terribly. And it's just, I don't like entitled people that think that they're special because they have a following.
Yep.
Like, but you're
yes,
not like
sir.
You're not
Amen.
Like that. Like,
Amen.
I don't
Lord.
I don't I like there's a difference to me. If I call you a friend, I like, and I do call you a friend, like, you realize that you're popular on social media. We're popular on social media. We're not famous. There's no difference between you and anybody you're gonna meet on the street today.
I tell people that all the time, Josh, and I like to use a phrase that my grandpa said 1,000 times growing up. And I always tell people that walk up to me and they're like, oh, man, or they're freaking. I'm like, listen, I wake up in the morning and I put my pants on one leg at a time, just like anybody else in this world. And I am nobody special. And, you know, I get on social media to make people laugh, and that's the only reason why I do it. I don't do it for any type of clout. In fact, you can ask anybody that knows me personally. If we're in public, and sometimes people will walk up to me and they'll say, oh, my gosh, are you that girl on TikTok? Sometimes I will lie, and I say, no, I get that a lot, or I just look like her or whatever, and then I just go on about my business. It's not because I'm trying to be rude. It's just I don't know how to accept like praise or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, I don't like that. I was taught to be humble my entire life. And I feel like I don't want to ever feel like I'm bragging about something. Yeah. You know, I feel like I disappoint my grandparents if I'm not humble in life.
Well,
go ahead.
You go ahead. You finish yours.
No, so anyway, so if I ever do, if you ever do walk, if somebody ever does walk up to me in public and they say, "Oh, hey, like I watch your stuff," and like they know it's me, I'll be like, thank you so much. I appreciate you because, we try to use what we make to do good and help people. So, thank you for following me. But that's it. I
Yeah.
don't get into this big thing about, I don't like stuff to be about me, if that makes sense,
Oh,
even though I
100.
have over a million followers on social media. Like I don't.
Well, my thing
So.
is, and this is where like I'm so jaded on it, is I've been around these people that, and so have you, and that number don't mean shit because you like, I tried to explain to somebody the other day and they took it the wrong way and they got kind of pissy with me. It's almost like TikTok, Instagram, or Facebook, whatever. It's almost like one big high school. And it's almost where that following number is just your rating when it comes to popularity. Like
I agree.
that's your
I agree.
popularity ranking. And that's all it is. There's nothing more
Exactly.
than that. It's not that you are famous. It's not that whatever. It's just where you rank at being popular. And what blows my mind though is I have got buddies that are number one songwriters that have got CMTs, it's got Grammys, it's got whatever. And if you were to go look at their social media,
They've got like 20,000 followers.
they can't get 1,000 people to follow them. They and like when we're out in Nashville, the artists and the people that we're around, of course, they know who the hell they are, and they're like, oh my God. They're like, that's so and so. He's amazing. But then you get some person who walks up that's got 2, 3 million followers on
Dumb
TikTok.
as a rock.
Yeah, fucking stupid. And they're like, oh my God, I'm so special. And it's
Nope.
like, what are you special
Sit
for?
down.
Like,
Yeah,
you,
sit down.
what are you special for? This guy right here has got CMTs. This guy's got Songwriter of the Year. It, like, what have you done? Like,
It blows, social
yeah.
media blows my mind, man. That's why I tell people, I'm like, it's not real life for me.
No.
It isn't. And it's not, and I said this on another podcast that I was on with Justin Stegner over in Alabama not too long ago. I would, if I lost all of my social media following tonight, tomorrow, will I be a little disappointed because it does bring in money for me? Yeah, in the aspect I would be a little bit whatever, but in the aspect of people following me, I don't give two
Yeah.
shits because they're not the people that matter in my life. Like I appreciate everybody who follows me. I don't want you to think that. I appreciate everybody who gets on my stuff and comments and follows me. And I love getting the messages about you help me get through a tough time, or I have
Oh
cancer
yeah.
and I watch your stuff during chemo. I love that. But at the end of the day, and I say this all the time too, my number one job in this world is being a mama
Absolutely.
and being a wife to my husband and being a good daughter and sister and sister-in-law, to those around me. And that is truly all that matters at the end of the day to me. So anything else, social media, all that stuff, Facebook, TikTok, none of that is at the top of my priority list. It's just not. And some people make it that though.
Yeah.
Some people
Well,
forget about those who have been there, for you since the very beginning. And
absolutely.
I hate to see that happen. I hate to see that happen. I always tell people, stay humble. I end all my lives with that. Stay humble and don't you ever forget where you came from, because you can get slapped down so quick.
Quick. Well, it's supposed to be what you take. Like all of this, regardless of what anybody thinks, TikTok isn't a career. Instagram isn't a career. It's about what you take from this and make into it. So for me, coming from radio to this was supposed to just be a marketing tool for me. That's it. Like, it's supposed to help build my fan base. It's supposed to be a way for me to express myself to where people get to know me, to where they go listen to my show. That is it. I'm not trying to be known as a TikToker, a creator, whatever. I want you to know me as Josh Terry, the guy with the radio show. That's all I want you to know me as. Somebody like you that is very creative. It gives you a chance to show off what you might have not got a chance to show otherwise that you were good at. And it could lead to you having a career in comedy, like, or whatever you want to do. And you are doing that. Like, you're taking the step to doing that. There's people that literally, and it blows my mind that they sit there all day, every day, And they don't stop. Like, they're on lives all day,
yes.
every day. And it's like, what are you doing?
Here's the deal with that. I think that you can make a career out of social media. Like, I do believe that you can. Especially like the way that YouTube is paying right now, the way that TikTok was paying, past tense was paying. You know, you can make a lot of money on social media, which blows my mind. But at a finger snap, it could be gone. That's what I try to tell people is like, you know, and you got people like I applaud Justin Stagner. You know, I love him
to
death.
He's so cool. He
is. I love him to death. We talk all the time. I guarantee you that me and him and his wife, if we don't text each other every other day, something's wrong. because I mean, they're just good down home people. I love them. But like he has, I applaud him because he started out doing the same thing that I was doing, you know, just making skits, just making skits about old time sayings in the South and stuff like that. And he got a following pretty quick. And so he used that following to branch out into other areas of social media. So now he has a social media platform, you know, across all the platforms. And then he was like, I'm going to start a podcast. And he started a podcast and he worked with different companies advertising for them and stuff like that. So it gave him the opportunity to like quit his day job. I mean, he was actually able to quit his actual job because he has just been so smart about the way that he marketed himself and his character and stuff like that. So the people that do it the right way, if that's what you want, then by God, go get it and do it. But that's honestly, and I tell people this all the time, I didn't start out making TikToks or whatever to do that. And so I kind of went through this little limbo period where I was just making skits to make skits and I wasn't even getting paid for it.
Yeah.
And then I decided, well, let me just try to monetize off this stuff. You know, I signed up for all the monetized stuff on all the social medias. And then I met all the requirements and then they started paying me and it's nice. And, you know, we use it just throughout the year to help families out. But I never started it to quit my day job in any sense of the matter, you know. But does it bring extra money into our household and to help people in our area? Yeah. And it's nice to have that little bit of extra money coming in. So, but I do think that you can make a career out of it if that's what you want. But like we were talking about earlier, you can't be dumb as a rock.
No.
And make this last for years or make this be your career until, you know, the end of time. You've got to be smart about it.
Well, you got to know that if you don't take it a step further, that you're wasting an opportunity.
You are. And you've got to keep up with social media and you've got to keep up with trends and you've got to keep up with new stuff that's coming out. And that's what's hard for me because I don't like change. But like I said, I don't do it for any of those other reasons. So, and you know, whatever comes and I'm happy with that. And I do, and I have, it has opened up so many opportunities for me, is, you know, working with companies, helping people out. I would have never got the opportunity to help the Safe Haven people out if I wasn't on TikTok and somebody didn't recognize me that was over there at Safe Haven. And we've done it to help raise money for, like, you know, tornado victims and people with kids in the hospital, you know, long term and stuff like that. So in that sense, I'm so glad that I started, you know, 3 years ago with this, because we have been able to help a lot of people, you know, that I would have normally never been able to reach if I didn't step out of my comfort zone and do that. So, It's social media is a wild world, man. And you're right. It's like a big high school. There's drama. Oh my gosh, the drama.
Yeah, I don't do the drama part of it. I do my best. Well, what's funny
the
about
the one
that,
singer, dude. The one, what's that? Do we want to bring him up? Or do we not want to bring him up? We don't have to bring him up. Never mind.
It's not that. It's just I made. Because I feel like I have to.
I went down a rabbit hole with that one.
Yeah, I feel like I have to address it because I've been asked so many times lately about it, like why I haven't talked about it. And I feel like with you, you'll get it better than anybody else. So it's kind of okay that you asked. For anybody that's asked about Cody Wolf, like why nothing's been said, nothing's been done or whatever about it. Me and old dude had a heart to heart after everything, and I just told him I wasn't gonna reference any of his stuff anymore. The dude obviously he needed a change, and I hope he's working on himself. I really do. He stays in my prayers. I hope he's doing well. Whatever he's doing. We good. Don't. Yeah, we won't be. We won't.
There's
be
no beef there anymore.
Yeah, we laid that to bed.
So, well, good. You know what? Yeah. I'm happy to hear that for anybody who's had drama in the past. I always tell people I love drama, except for when it's my drama. I love other people's drama. I love to just sit back and listen, you know, from the outside. But as far as me as a person, you are not going to – I'm probably the most least confrontational person that you have ever met in your life. So is my husband. And that's why I love my husband.
This podcast is brought to you by the Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection Arcade Classics. 7 legendary titles, including X-Men vs. Street Fighter and Marvel vs. Capcom 2. Enjoy new features like online multiplayer, training, and gallery modes. Plus, join in on the action with one-button specials, where players of all skill levels can unleash those epic moves with ease. Relive the classic arcade battles. Get your hands on the Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection today. Available now on PlayStation 4, PC, and Nintendo Switch.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of 5-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
So much is because, you know, everybody has little arguments and stuff in marriage, but like, we don't have these knockdown drag outs or anything. Like we're going to sit down and we're going to talk about stuff, but we don't holler and yell at each other and stuff like that. And you know, that's bad for your kids and stuff. So, but in real life, you know, it's all good to watch from the outside, but I'm not starting nothing with nobody. Y'all, you're going to have to start something with me first. And I know that's surprising because the TikTok character that I play is, she just loves, you know, dirt road drama. But me personally, man, I try to stay out of it. If I can help it, I am staying out of the drama.
Well, I've had enough cases of it now to where people just don't realize that I am a crash test dummy. That if you are going to come for me, like for whatever reason, I don't know what you call it about me, but like, I'm going for your neck if you come for me. Like, I'm not going to be kind about it. I'm setting an example with you for the next person that if you are going to mess with me, because I try to tell folks all the time, I'm the nicest person that you're going to meet if we're friends. Like if you're kind to me, if you're respectful to me, you're going to get nothing but respect and kindness from me. Right. The second you're an asshole to me though, you're going to get a person that was picked on as a kid, that didn't grow up in a good household, that is not well adjusted, that has anger issues.
Oh, like, man.
Like, you're getting a animal. And I don't like that about myself.
Feral Josh.
90% of the time, I don't show that side. I tell my daughter came when I, like, she was born when I was 24 years old. If you'd have known me before she was born, my first instinct that if you looked at me wrong, I was going to ask you why you was looking at me wrong. But then one of us was getting put in our place. And now I'd rather have a conversation with you.
Right.
And be like, yep. Do you have a problem with me?
If
you
but do, that's all about growth.
Yeah,
that's
but
growth
it's like,
right
why?
There.
But if you're going to come for me, especially on social media, because nobody can out shit talk me. If I'm on a roll, if I want to hurt your feelings,
you're going to hurt them.
I'm going to hurt your feelings. And I'm going to do it in a way that everybody's going to share it a million times.
Yeah.
It might make me like an asshole to certain people, but it's like, holy shit, he just called that
dude
radio?
You didn't start it, though.
Yeah.
You didn't start it. That's my thing. You didn't start it. And, you know, I try to be mindful that there are internet trolls. There are people that just come on there and just say horseshit for no reason. I will tell you that 99% of the people that comment on my stuff are there for a good time. They're positive people. They like my stuff. But you've got that 1% out there, man, that you just cannot, doesn't matter what you do or what you tell them, why you tell them you're doing something. Yeah. Somebody's always going to have an issue or a smart-ass comment to make. And most of the time, I just ignore them. But it is so fun to make reply videos back, like clapping back at people. And I always try to keep it classy. But you're right, though. I'll go to their profile pic, or like their profile, and I will just get the most ridiculous looking profile picture on their page, and I would just post it in the background on a green screen and be like, this is the person that made this comment, y'all, you know. So it just depends on what mood I'm in, but for the most part, I'm not here to mess with nobody.
Well,
you got to mess with me first too.
I think most of these people don't realize folks like me and you are going to look at their accounts anyway, and if you have no followers. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way, because there is a lot of people that just don't post shit or whatever.
Yeah,
but if it's like, if you got a picture of your dog as your profile picture, or it's an anime or whatever is your profile picture, and you don't post anything, more than likely you're a child, or you're just so miserable that you probably have a horrible life anyway. I'm not even going to comment back. I'm not even going to say a word to you. Mm-mm. Like, your life is probably your punishment. Like, guys, I'm not even fucking with
you. Got nothing better to do.
Yeah, you're a miserable person, and that's how you want to spend your days. And go ahead.
That's okay.
Yeah, but now if you are somebody, and it doesn't happen very often. Last time it did, it was a comedian, actually. Or she says she was a comedian. Let me tell you what happened to this person, if you didn't see it last year. This was
one. But I'll probably remember it once you start.
I want to say her name was Lucky the Comedian. She was a lesbian, and if nobody knows this, I love lesbians, okay? Just letting all y'all know, I love that community. That community has been nothing but supportive and awesome to me.
Yes, sir.
I don't care who you are, who you want to love, so don't a damn one of y'all come at me because this one person was a lesbian. I work with lesbians. I love them. Yeah, it's hard to get mad if somebody loving the same damn thing you do. So listen, this lesbian comedian, though, saw something that I posted, and it was a funny video. It's all it was. It was, you remember there was a sound, and it was like, yo, coochie stank, yo, coochie stank. All right. It was I was with one of my friends, and we had just got done going to eat or something or whatever.
Y'all were in the car.
Yep.
I remember that video.
And it was funny. That's all it was. And it was like, she started saying something to me, the comedian. She was like, just another man with little dick energy talking shit about women. And I was like, this is my friend. We're talking shit to each other. Do you not
know? We're literally joking.
Yeah, we're joking. She's probably going to say some slick shit to me in a minute. Yeah. She thought it was funny.
Just roasting each other.
Yeah, and then she was like, whatever. You're just a toxic, masculine man or whatever. And I was like, probably. So she wouldn't stop. So what I figured she was trying to do, she was trying to flirt with my friend. I thought that's what she was trying to do.
Yeah,
so then I was like, okay, I'm just going to look at your stuff. First off, if you call yourself, and I hope, and like, if you do this, doesn't count because I actually think you're funny. You're funny. If you call yourself a comedian in the title of your name on something, you better be fucking funny. You better be funny, because that's the dumbest shit I've ever seen. If you're like Lucky the Comedian, you better like, you don't have to label yourself
I started an LLC, so my stuff is B. Smith Comedy because I started an LLC.
That's fine, but you're not sitting there, you're not on social media labeling yourself as a comedian so people know you're a comedian.
Like, that's not like in my thing.
Yeah, yeah.
No, go ahead.
Yeah. Even if you had like comedy in something of yours, that's fine.
Yeah.
But like your name shouldn't be what you do. Like my name
comedian
is
Comedian Brittany.
Yeah, it shouldn't be like Josh Terry Podcaster.
Yeah.
Like it's like so you know that I do a podcast. Like you shouldn't be that. It's just Josh Terry. All right. So I go look at her comedy and it is horrible. And all it is man hating. Like all it is man hating. So then what I do, I take one of her clips from one of her videos where she's man hating. And I write like a 1 minute skit, and I'm talking about it hit, and I'm talking about it blew up. It was one of those videos that, I mean, it got community guidelines in an hour or two, but it hit 200,000, 300,000 views within the first hour or two before it got took down.
That's
it
how was, you know it's going to be.
Oh, yeah. It was a killer. Yeah. But anyway. Wow. So then she comes back, she claps back or whatever. Then it happens again. I smash her ass again or whatever. And then she like just wants to call me a whatever, like sexist, bigot, whatever. All this. And I was like, look, you clearly don't know my past, so let me help you out. I got fired for supporting your community when I worked in radio. I got fired because I don't support the Confederate flag and I live in South Georgia. I got fired for all these reasons. If you want to look it up, there's newspaper articles about it to where your community came out and supported me. So you want to sit here and call me all this? That's fine. But literally, your community loves me. So you can't call me that. You're the one who don't. You came from my neck and I took your fucking head. And then everybody that's from her community just ravaged her page.
And
this is what was the best part about it. She had a show in Nashville coming up. And I don't know what you know, or you probably know this better than anybody. You can say that you're going to be part of a lineup for a comedy show, right? Yeah. And it might be sold out, but that don't mean you sold out a comedy show.
Because
for most comedy nights at most comedy shows, you've got 10, 12 acts throughout the night.
Yep.
And then you don't get paid $20, $30. Like, and nobody knows, whoever's attending that comedy show that night, they have no idea who's even being there that night. They're just going to go to a comedy show.
To go to a show.
They're just going to hang out. They're paying their $5 admission, and whoever's there that night is who's there, unless you have a big name headlining.
Yep.
So she put on something. Oh, I'm at this sold out show in Nashville or whatever. I had friends go and heckle her. And then they posted heckling her. And then next thing you know, all her shit's deleted. Like, and it was women. And it was women from Nashville. And one of them was in that community, not all of them. One of them was from that community. And it was just like, come from my head. I dare you. Yeah. Like, I've been so nice to so many people that when I do decide to be a dick, they're like, we got you, homie.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You don't have to do all the work. We got you.
Yeah. No, I mean, but you know, that's why sometimes you have to be careful commenting on people's stuff because of that. Like, if you don't truly know somebody, know their past, and then you come up with some horseshit and start with them on social media, you have to be ready. Like, you can't be, you know, you got all these keyboard warriors, you know, going to war every day trying to do this, that, and other, but then you get somebody that actually claps back, and then you got to sit there and take the heat, you know? So what grandma say, if you can't stand the heat, get out the kitchen. You know what I mean? Like you started it. Essentially, she started it. You just had to finish it, you know?
Yeah. I'm big on that. I love it. I think I've done it enough now to just the people that used to even count to, they'd leave me the hell alone.
Yeah, they're probably just like, no, I don't want to be the same as old girl or old boy that you were roasting. So no, I get that. But no, just quit commenting stuff on people's platforms, you know? If you don't, that's what I try to do. If I'm going to comment some smart ass shit on something, I got to be ready for whatever they say back to me. And most of the time I got something smart ass back to say to them, but it's got to be something really bad for me to comment some smart ass shit to somebody on social media.
It's got to be something where I want to prove a point.
I
don't even do it no more. There was a video that got sent to me. It's been within the last month, and it was some dude who looked like he got hit in the face with a shovel. It was clearly a man. And it was where, I mean, I say clearly, man, he had a 5 o'clock shadow, shaved down, but it was 5 o'clock shadow. But it was a dude, and he was talking about, I identify as a woman, and if I want to go in the women's bathroom and use it, I'm going to go in the women's bathroom and use it. Well, I made a video, and I was about to put it out, and it was out. I did put it out. It was only out for about 30 minutes. And
I think I've seen it.
And then somebody messaged me and was like, this dude just does this kind of shit to get a rise out of people. Like, and I was like, oh, I'm taking this video down then. I'm not going to give him what he wants. It's like, there, I've realized now there are certain people that just do it to cause chaos. And I'm not feeding into it. If it's somebody that actually really believes that in their heart, oh yeah, now I'm going to take a stand and I'm going to tell you how I really feel about it.
Right.
But if you're just wanting attention, I'm not going to give you the attention.
Right. No, and some people do that because, I mean, it brings people to their page and then their page gets views and then there might be something on their page that somebody actually likes and then that, and then they gain followers. It's all a big game. It really is. Social media and gaining a following, in a sense, is one, it's one big game.
Yeah.
It really is. Like, you have to play by the rules, you know, and like you were saying earlier, it's a popularity contest.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, there's so many rules there. There's so many, things that play into videos going viral. You got people that are paying first, hold on just a second. Yeah. You've got people who are paying money to basically get views on things. And then you've got people like me who I refuse to,
absolutely,
like, you know, they
not.
All the time. I'm just like, if your content is so shitty that you have to pay people to get view, you know what I mean? Like, to me, that's just crazy to me. Like, if your content doesn't speak for itself, and I'm not talking about getting videos pushed out and marketing and stuff like that, that's completely different. I'm talking about these people that will pay thousands of dollars just to get, you know, 10,000 more views on a video, on a single video. That blows my mind that you would pay that much money to do that.
It's people, you know, that want to be popular so bad.
I don't get it.
It's the kid in high school. Like I said,
is lacking in your life, in your real life? And that's what we go back to what we're saying earlier. You know, social media is not real life.
No.
Like, you need to focus on the people around you that actually love you and that you love, instead of focusing on strangers on the internet that honestly, at the end of the day, could give two shits about, you know, you or anything.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I really don't get it.
They definitely don't care.
Nope.
You know, you've probably heard me bitch. Everybody's heard me bitch about this. And, like, you're a person that would, like, I understand, like, you have a family and everything, so I don't want you to take offense to this.
No, like, go ahead.
There's people that have been around us to where, hey, we do these charity things. We do these things for veterans, mental health, all this kind of stuff. There's people that could be part of that kind of stuff that we've met off social media, but they choose not to be.
Yeah.
And it's like, why haven't you? Like, why haven't you done anything? But then people want to invest all their time and effort into following and supporting these people. And it's like, why? Even with you doing the safe haven thing, I can't tell you how much I respect somebody like you doing stuff like that, because you're supposed to give back. If you're given a platform, whatever, even if it's five people that follow you, try
use
to
your platform
do something
for good. I could preach on that all day. I feel like if you are blessed enough to have a platform like that, why not raise awareness for certain things that you know, and that goes back to like us using the month all through the year. And, you know, I talk about it in my lives a lot, but I don't necessarily advertise it like on my page and stuff. But I do talk about it in lives or if I need some help. But like, I encourage anybody, and this is what we do. You can call your local school and ask to speak to the counselor. Okay. This is anybody, anywhere can do this. You can call your local school, ask to speak to the counselor, and that counselor has a list in her office of in need students, whether students need clothes, whether they're not going to get Christmas this year, whether they have trouble, you know, their family, you know, doesn't have enough food or whatever. You can call them. It can be completely anonymous. They do not give you student names. They don't give you anything. And they can just give you a list. They can say, well, yeah, we have student A who wears size X, Y, and Z, and, you know, they have trouble, you know, they could use some extra groceries or whatever. And then you just go by that school and drop it off, and everything's anonymous and nobody knows anything about nothing. And they, they give it to the kid like discreetly, so like the other kids don't know, or you know, it wouldn't make fun of them. And anybody can do that, not just anybody with a social media platform. Anybody who has extra to give can do that. And I try to talk about that all the time in my lives, and I try to make Facebook posts about it all the time. You know, call your local schools, elementary, middle, high school, call them. Your local nursing homes. There, you wouldn't believe the people at nursing homes that don't have clothes, Josh. Yeah. Like just simple, just decent clothes to wear. Grandma or grandpa passes away and you got all these clothes, instead of taking them to Goodwill for Goodwill to make a profit on, which I know that they use their money for good stuff too, but call your local nursing home and go to the nursing home and say, hey, we got grandma and grandpa's extra clothes that are in good shape. Could anybody here use them? You know, it's just simple stuff that you can do to make somebody else's life a little bit better. You know what I mean? People who would truly appreciate stuff. And so, you know, just I tell my kids all the time, and it starts when they're kids too. I tell everybody this, it starts when your kids are young. They're just nothing. It costs 0 cents to be kind to somebody. And it costs, a lot of times it doesn't cost anybody anything to help somebody. So if you can do something to help somebody, do it, you know?
Yeah, that's what we're all supposed to do. There's like one or two I really want to call out. They've been on this show before. I just probably won't ever mess with again. And it's not that I think that they're a bad person.
Right.
I really don't think they're a bad person. I think that you get to a certain level and shit goes to your head.
Yep.
And you just forget that you were not too long ago struggling.
You forget where you came from. I say that all the time.
Yeah.
Do not forget where you came from.
Yeah. And it's like, do you know what you could be doing for people?
Yep.
I promise you, I don't need a pat on the back, not nothing. We've been doing a toy drive for fucking 6 years, 7 years.
Yeah.
And I say every year, I'm not doing it again. I say every single year, like, I don't want to do it again. And then it gets down to November and the same thing.
And you're like, we're doing it.
Yeah. And that same thing. Cause like it stresses me out every single year reading those.
But in the end, it's worth it, man.
It is. It is.
But in the end, it's worth it.
But this is why I get stressed out, or not why I get stressed out, why I end up doing it every year. Because it's like, I look around and it's like, I see people that ought to be doing something.
Yeah.
And it's like, why isn't this person doing anything?
Yeah.
Like it would take them 5 minutes to do what it's going to take me 2 months to do.
Yep.
And it's like, you know what though? But if that's put on me, then fuck it. That's put on me. And like I said, I'm not saying.
And let me know if you want help with that this year. I will.
I want other people to do it. I want other people to do it. That's what I want. I don't want to do it.
It can get. I will tell you that it can get stressful. And let me tell you something. So, you know, I don't know if we talked about this before, but I came from the medical field. I worked in the medical field for a long time. And then my little girl has a medical condition that stopped me from basically going to work and working in the medical field because I needed to be closer to her while she was in school. So I started subbing at their elementary school. We also live right through the woods from their school. So that keeps me closer. But let me tell you that I did not realize until I started working in an elementary school the amount of underprivileged children that there are in our area. You think that just because you do your best and you try to raise your kids and provide the best for your kids, that that's what every other parent's doing. And that's not the case. I can tell you right now that some parents don't give a shit about their kids. They, I'm not talking about the parents who are out there busting their ass and, you know, they just still don't have a lot or whatever. I'm not talking about those hardworking parents that still love their kids and stuff, but working in the school system has really opened my eyes. And I think that that's why we use the majority of our money goes to kids like that in our school systems, in our area. And that's where I learned, you know, that you can call the counselor at any school in your area and ask about these things. And they will, I guarantee you, there's no school that you could call anywhere, maybe other than private fancy schools, that's not going to have at least one kid on a need list. at the school. There's always going to be
I didn't know you could do that, actually.
Yes. Until
you
There's said always going to be a kid that needs something. So so that I'm so glad that just that like change in where I, you know, was working opened my eyes up to that. Because that's where the majority of our money goes to help kids like that in our area. It will. And I, you know, I see memes floating around all the time about teachers posting, we challenge every parent in the world to sub at least 1 week at school because it will open your eyes about other things that teachers deal with.
Yeah.
But I think that that's a sad part of knowing that you can't help every single kid. You know, it really is. And I try my damnedest. If I know there's babies over there at that school or any school in our area that needs help, and I've reached out to bus drivers, you can reach out. If you have friends that drive buses, they know which kids come from houses who are, you know, maybe like in underprivileged areas or kids that come from houses that need help. So your bus drivers too, man, people don't realize that. Your bus drivers know who needs stuff. So reach out to those people if you know those people.
That's cool, dude. See, I knew I liked you. I knew I liked you from the first time I met you. There's just
I appreciate it. You know, you had me pegged. You kind of had me wrong there in the beginning, though. You remember that first podcast we did with Jennifer Stanley? And yeah. I will say thank you because you gave me, you and Jennifer, because she reached out to me, you gave me my first shot at a podcast ever. And I did not have a very big following back then. I didn't.
Well, you could tell you were funny. You could tell even before that you were funny.
I had a little bit more than most people, but I still did not have a very big following. So you gave me a chance and I really do appreciate that. But you kind of had me wrong there after that first podcast. Remember you said you thought I was a Chick-fil-A. What was it?
Yeah, Chick-fil-A
you thought
mom.
I was a fancy mom, a Chick-fil-A mom that I came from like money and all this stuff. And then we had that second podcast and you and I really talked about like our childhoods and where we came from and stuff. And man, that molds you as a person. Yeah.
Well,
that opens your eyes.
The problem with social media, and this is where this is where podcasts are great to where social media kind of just, it puts blinders on to people.
It does.
People are really bad about only posting the good. And it's not because you only want to post the good. It's because if you're starting to do it as a career, a job or whatever, the bad kind of isn't what some people want to see. So you kind of veer away from it. And unless it's just something really passionate that you want to talk about.
So then
like it kind of just gets pushed down like everything else. Yep. So you only see what the other person's wanting to show you. But when you do a podcast, it's like, so how deep are we getting? Because that's what people want. What we really want to know. How deep? And that's where, you really get to find out how somebody is. I just automatically assume, and this is my fault. This isn't nobody else's. I just automatically assume until somebody opens up to me. Because what I put on social media is me. Mm-hmm. And, well, it's me turned up to 10 most of the time, but it is me.
Yeah.
I just automatically assume that the person I'm getting on my show is you, the person I see on social media until you open up. And it usually takes an episode. Yep. It takes an hour. Usually it takes a little bit for somebody to get comfortable having a conversation with a stranger.
And then
all of a sudden it's like, there's the content. That's what we're looking for. Yep. That's the story. Yep. That's the vibe that you want. I'm telling you, there's episodes I should go back and delete because they're boring. But it's just because I think they're boring because I know that the person I'm sitting there talking to, there's more to them and they're not wanting to let it out.
To open up about it.
Yeah. Like Sarah Blake Cheek. She's one of my real good friends. She does the OnlyFans stuff, but there's so much more to her as a mother, as just a entrepreneur, as just a great individual. My buddy Gypsy's the same thing as Sarah. When they open up and they actually talk about life and you get to see who they are, people get to see why I love them the way I do, why I have them in my life. But on the outside looking in, everybody's just like, why is he having them on the show again? And it's have a conversation with them. Look past their tits and ass and have a conversation with them, and you'll understand why I love them the way I do.
But it takes time.
Like it's,
It does.
So I don't think you're Chick-fil-A mom. I don't think you're Chick-fil-A mom anymore. I think you're a great person, and I love talking to you.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. But I remember, I will never forget when I called my sister-in-law and I was like, man, he literally thought that like I came from money and I'm basically just making fun of these Southern people on TikTok. When in reality, and people ask me this all the time, they're like, where do you come up with your content? And I'm like, y'all don't understand that every 98% of the skits that I do are straight from my childhood, something that happened to me, or a cousin or something in my life. Like that is where the foundation of each skit that I do starts with something that has actually happened to me or somebody in my life. And then I just kind of work off of that. So, you know, what you hear me talking about, you know, we grew up, we did not have a lot. I had a very, very, very humble upbringing, Josh. You know, I think we talked about it in our last podcast. I grew up in a 1976 double wide with brown shag carpet. We didn't have any cabinets on any of our kitchen. We didn't have no kitchen cabinets, you know, but my mama, who is an angel who walks upon this earth, Josh, just because we were poor, our house was a home. I tell people that all the time. My mama made our house a home. It was always clean. You know, we might not have had everything that we wanted, but by God, we had everything that we needed with the help of my grandparents, both sets of my grandparents. My daddy went to work every day. You know, so, we had what we needed. I don't want anybody to think that, like, I grew up without, or I was starving or nothing. We might've had to eat mayonnaise sandwiches every now and then, but we always had what we needed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, we were big. We stayed in the woods and the river. And I tell people all the time, we probably would have starved if we didn't learn how to hunt and fish. But, you know, I come from a family full of really, really, really good hunters and fishers. So, you know, we were brought up trapping and fishing and, you know, setting out catfish lines and hunting for anything literally anything in the woods that moved. We could trap it or hunt it. So, and that's a big part of me, of who I am too. And that's what I'm trying to, and my husband as well. So, you know, we try to instill that stuff in our kids too. Both of my kids love to fish. They love to hunt. Even my little girl, Chesney, and they're 9 and 7 this year. And my little boy could go down to our pond and I think he'd live down there. And that makes my heart so happy that, you know, he loves that. That's just, it's in his blood to do that. So, you know, it's just, there's so many things that happen in your childhood that mold you as an individual. And I think that growing up poor, man, it makes you appreciate so many things in life, you know, now looking back at stuff. So,
well, it just makes you realize at a young age what matters and what doesn't.
Yes. Yeah. And that goes back to social media again. Yeah. None of that shit matters to me as long as my family is happy and healthy. And, you know, we're all good. That's it. Money means nothing to me.
Yeah, nothing. I got put in a situation not long ago to where I wasn't sure if I was going to keep doing this show. Mm. I had some other offers and stuff that had kind of been presented to me. And I was kind of thinking about maybe a career change. It wasn't that I was fed up with this, but I realized looking back at it why I was, and it was kind of because I'd got off track about why I wanted to do this show.
Right.
And, I just kind of got my wits in and everything with it. And, I had realized that, you know, money isn't everything. I've said since I started this show, it's supposed to be morals over money. I used to always used to say when I worked in radio, it was always going to be morals over money for me. And everything kind of started going to hell for me with the show wise and some life stuff too. When I kind of stopped working towards that, when I kind of start letting that slip and when I'm starting to find that again over the past couple of months and finding myself with that again, I'm just starting to realize there's a whole lot of things that because I grew up poor.
Yeah.
And I grew up the way I did. It's like, damn, Josh, you've been poor for about 30 years out of 37. And you was a lot happier before you were middle class. And I'm still lower middle class or middle class.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I was a lot happier before I knew I had anything or before I wanted anything. Yeah. It's like you don't need it. Why are you putting so much pressure on yourself? Yeah. Like that keeping up with the Joneses shit is the worst thing on the planet.
And I see it, you know, all the time. It's just not worth it. Who gives a shit who has this and who has that? And maybe you don't have, you know, and I try to look at my grandparents, and I still have one grandparent left. My grandma's still here. And up until last year, I had three grandparents, but we lost both of my grandfathers last year. But, you know, I look back at what they went through so that I could be where I'm at.
Yeah.
And I don't think that people look at that. And I look at how, you know, we how happy they were, but they didn't have anything, Josh. Nothing. Both sets of my grandparents started out dirt poor. My great grandparents, they settled in Bullitt County, Georgia, right where I'm at now, in Bullitt County, Georgia, and they were sharecroppers. They didn't have anything, didn't own anything. My grandpa talks about waking up in the mornings and looking down through the floor, and he could see the chickens pecking the dirt underneath the floor in their house. You know what I mean? Like they had nothing, but they were always happy. And they took till the day they died. They never had a lot. You know, they didn't live this extravagant life, but my grandparents were happy. And they always made sure that we were happy and that we had what we needed, you know, along with my parents. But it's just looking at that, it just makes you look at money does not equal happiness. Money's nice to have to pay your bills and to make sure that you're comfortable in that sense. But money is not happiness. And some people don't realize that.
Well, it really makes you start to wonder if, when it was said to all of us at an early age, living by your means.
Yeah.
Those were the smartest people alive. Like the people that was like, you don't need a brand new truck. You don't need a big old house. Like you don't need this. You don't need that. Like
those things are nice.
Yeah.
But and like, if you can afford those things, I don't knock you. You know what I mean? If you can afford it, but live by your means. Don't overlive, you know, don't overspend, don't overlive. Then you get yourself in trouble, you know. Then you will be living like you don't want to live because you got into some trouble. And that's why I love my husband too, Josh. That man's tight on a dollar. He's always been tight on a dollar. But he's very much, and he has loosened up a little bit here lately because that's all we've done. Our whole marriage is save. Because we said that, you know, we never wanted to be in a position like our older generation loved ones where, you know, we couldn't afford stuff or, you know, we were struggling or, you know, we couldn't make the light bill or what, you know, we never wanted to be in that type of situation. Yeah. So I think that makes you think too, you know, growing up like that, you're like, man, I never want to be in a situation where, you know, we can't make the light, we can't pay the light bill or the water bill.
I think every relationship has to go through that. There was something I was listening to the other day, and it was pretty much saying that for a relationship to last, you have to have like a season of like financial despair.
Yeah.
Like you have to, because if you're sitting there and you're arguing over a dollar, if you can get through that, you can get through anything else. Cause that's supposed to be like your hardest, probably besides for somebody getting cheated on. That's probably the hardest arguments you're going to have with people is money wise. Cause this is so damn stressful. Yeah. And, I looking back at our grandparents, it's like, did they ever even really have to fight about it? Because
they didn't have it. Listen, if you don't have it, then there's nothing to argue about. Yeah. You know? Yeah. I'm telling you, me and my grandpa before he passed away, my grandpa Collins, we would sit down and have hour long conversations about money and how money is seriously like, you know, the root of all evil. And it really is. It causes so many issues, you know? Yeah. And then you got people making bukus of money that don't want to help people that don't have money. And it just, I don't know, me and my grandpa could talk for hours on that. But you're right. I mean, if you don't have it, you can't argue about it. That's what grandpa used to say. Yeah. He's like, I've never heard mom and daddy argue about money ever because we didn't have it. I mean, you know, what was there to argue about?
You can't bitch about having a new truck if you can't buy one.
That's right. Shit.
Well, anyway, Miss Brittany, I'm not going to hold you
yes,
up any
sir.
longer.
You
I mean, me and you can sit here and talk all day, more than likely, but
probably so, man.
But tell them one more time about the event in October, and if
okay.
to make sure you drop your social medias and all that, and if they can buy tickets, okay. or when they can look for tickets and all that kind of stuff. Just much information you want to drop before we get off here.
All right. Well, you can follow me on any platform, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok across the board. I am B Smith Comedy now. So if you'd like to go over there and check out my stuff, check it out. If you go over there and you don't like it, that's okay too. I always tell people that my comedy is not for everybody. It is Southern comedy. Sometimes it's a little bit trashy and I cuss a little bit. But if you would like to come to a show in October, I'm going to try my hand at stand-up again. So October the 11th in Statesboro, Georgia at the Blue Room from 6 to 8 p.m. We are going to try to help out Safe Haven House in our area. So any and all proceeds that are made on that show, I believe that tickets will be $25. All proceeds are going to go back to that house. So we've got Justin Stagner, who plays Southern Grandpa, who's coming over from Alabama. And we have got Amanda Meadows coming down from where she's at. I believe North Carolina. I could have that wrong, though. But she plays Charlene, the Trailer Park Queen. I'm sure that a lot of people know her. She's coming over. We're going to do a few stand-up bits. We might do something together, like a little comedy Q&A. And then we have got Cade Beecher and Ben Bates, who are going to play some music for us. They're going to do a little duo for the remaining of the time. So try to come out. Miss Ashley Duvall in Statesboro, Georgia, is one who is also helping us get this together. So if y'all want to come out, look, I'm sure that ticket sales will start next week, and we will try to advertise that on all social media platforms.
You did a great job of that. You need to do commercials. that was wonderful.
Yeah,
that was great job. Do all my commercials for me. Shit. I don't want my management company to hear that. They're gonna be like, you're not ever cutting.
Send it on
again.
Over there, buddy. I'm hoping I do that well on stage in October.
You will. I'll probably actually come watch you.
Please do. Just come stand backstage.
We will.
Holler shit at me while I'm out there.
No, you don't want me to do that. I will heckle. I'll help you do crowd work.
Yeah. Come out there with us. You can do that. Come out there. I'm going to try to convince Justin Stagner to dress up like Aunt Dolores when we do our little Q&A thing. So it'll be me and Charlene and Aunt Dolores out there.
That'll be
so,
cool. I'll leave that up to the pros. I'll just heckle from a distance.
All right. Well, thank you for having me on today. I certainly appreciate you.
Anytime, Miss Brittany. Well, thank you. And thank each and every one of y'all for listening to the Josh Terry Podcast. Make sure y'all go check Miss Brittany out and all the stuff she's got coming up. And I will see each and every one of y'all next time.
This podcast is brought to you by the Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection Arcade Classics. 7 legendary titles, including X-Men vs. Street Fighter and Marvel vs. Capcom 2. Enjoy new features like online multiplayer, training, and gallery modes. Plus, join in on the action with one-button specials, where players of all skill levels can unleash those epic moves with ease. Relive the classic arcade battles. Get your hands on the Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection today. Available now on PlayStation 4, PC, and Nintendo Switch.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.